Now, seeing live music and going to a work conference might seem like two very different things, but one author says they're both part of something called the experience economy, the business of gathering people to do stuff together. Our next guest says the in-person event sector was responsible for a growing share of the U.S. economy, and with the massive disruption during the coronavirus outbreak, it's facing some big questions about its future. David Gellis writes the Corner Office column, along with other features for the New York Times Sunday Business section. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, give us a sense of the range of what we're talking about when we talk about this experience economy.
Just think about what we're missing right now. Baseball games, Chuck E. Cheese, concerts. It's all the business of bringing people together. And all of these events, obviously, are on hold right now. And the truth is, a lot of them are going to be on hold for quite some time, even as some other things start to come back.
Pre-pandemic, how big a deal was this part of our economy?
It was big and getting bigger all the time. And that was for a few reasons. On the one hand, there's just a robust business to be done in the business of getting people together. We saw things like pop-up experiences coming together. We saw axe throwing bars and all sorts of new ways to get people out and about and with their friends. And obviously, this is how people spend money. Just look at the boom in live sports. That was driven in part by our innate love of sports, but also by the fact that sports, and especially live sports, are very lucrative. So we saw this huge boom in college sports, as well as new leagues like Major League Soccer and the WNBA come up in recent years. And this was all happening as other parts of the economy that had traditionally been very robust, think manufacturing in the United States, gradually waned. So the experience economy was large and it kept getting bigger.
Yeah, and I see over the years, you know, finance experts and happiness experts keep saying, hey, the best way to spend your money isn't on the stuff, it's on the experiences. Obviously, we Americans were still buying stuff, but it seems like the experiences were becoming a more and more important part of our daily lives, our business lives, and more.
That's because doing things together and being out with the people we love, it's not just a fun diversion. It's not just good for the economy. It's how we make meaning. It's how we create identity. And when you go to a Grateful Dead concert or a Fish concert, you're not just hearing live music. It's a way to associate yourself. It's a way to identify yourself and find your community.
And let's talk about now the jobs impact of the coronavirus shutdown. A lot of sectors hit hard here. How much of the job loss we see, though, is in some aspect of this experience economy?
A huge portion of the more than 38 million jobs that have been lost over the last many weeks are directly tied to this part of the economy. And that's unfortunately for obvious reasons. You know, when you think about all the people that should be out at the ballparks right now, selling beers and hawking peanuts and, checking your tickets and working the parking lots, they're obviously not just there. And that is just repeated ad nauseum at swimming pools, at laser tag parks, and at baseball parks all around the country.
David Gellis is with us. He writes the Corner Office column, along with other features at the New York Times Sunday Business section. He wrote a recent piece on the hit that this experience economy is taking during the coronavirus pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you work in a job along these lines or own a business? And if you are thinking about, well, when do I get back to do stuff like this, go to the theater, the water park, the axe-throwing bar, the normal kind of bar for that matter, are you ready to do it now? When are you going to be ready to do it if not? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And, David, that's one piece of the puzzle you looked at in your piece. You know, the idea that, okay, when the official orders shutting these things down, and are people going to come back? What kind of signs are we seeing?
It's obviously going to be mixed depending on the region of the country and depending really on consumers' willingness and businesses' willingness to, let's be real, take some amount of risk. I was just, before we got on this phone, on a call with the guy who reports on the theater, the Broadway business in New York City for us at the New York Times, and we were comparing notes. And he said, listen, even if New York City schools open in September, which is something we're all watching closely, I've got school-age kids, I hope they're going to school in September, what's the likelihood that the Broadway shows are also going to be open in September? Well, I'd guess that it's a long shot. So I think these events are going to be among the last ones to come back, unfortunately, especially in big cities and especially when you think about these big events, which is why so many of the major professional sports leagues are making plans. We've seen very detailed plans in some of the leagues to play games without fans in the stands, which, again, just seems crazy. And as recently as a couple months ago, LeBron James was saying he wouldn't do it. I think we're all now coming to a place where we realize this may be a part of our lives. And we may see the experience economy come back in stages where the experience is happening and you might be able to watch that experience on stage, but you can't actually be there for it in person.
Speaking of big events, you talked to an organizer with South by Southwest, the huge music festival that's turned into a festival for lots of things other than music as well. A lot of people build their year around this event, I think. What kind of things did you hear?
So I actually had an extended conversation with him a few weeks ago, and he was in such a difficult place. South by Southwest was supposed to get going, you know, full steam ahead with, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people come to Austin, Texas for this festival. It's a week of film, a week of music, and a week of technology, thousands of vendors, hundreds of millions of dollars into the local economy. And they were literally at the stage where the trucks were at the convention center setting up the booths, right? Like, this thing was about ready to go. And he was in this tricky place because this was right in mid-March, the week everything sort of changed on the country. And he was being pressured by all sides to make the decision himself, right? Everyone was starting to realize this thing probably just isn't safe to have. And so they were calling on South By to make the decision itself. But he was in a position where he felt he actually couldn't do that. The economic consequences of doing that were so profound that he essentially said, we need cover from the local government. And so he said, listen, it's up to the city of Austin. He needed the mayor, ultimately, to make that decision. And when the mayor finally did, that's when it all got shut down. But again, the implications are profound. This is hundreds of thousands of people that weren't coming to Austin. All those hundreds of thousands of Airbnbs and hotel rooms went empty. All those hundreds of thousands of restaurant reservations evaporated. And as a consequence, you're talking about tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of economic activity that just disappeared overnight. And this is what's lost from an economic perspective when we can't get together.
Can you talk about the impact that can have on a community? I mean, there are some places smaller than Austin that have maybe, you know, a bunch of water slide parks or other tourist amenities, things like that, that really count on this one kind of industry, this kind of experience economy industry for the local economy. This is going to hit more than just the businesses themselves, isn't it?
Without a doubt. And I think we're a real test, and you're right to point it out, is sort of these summer communities. I'm up here in New Hampshire, where I've been for the last few months, and it was very interesting. As I had to get out of the house and make a little errand today, and as I did that, I saw hundreds, if not thousands, of cars coming up the interstate from Boston, clearly coming up for the Memorial Day weekend. So it's going to be fascinating to see when people are out and about, and we're all starting to get out and about more than we were, say, a month or two ago, to what extent they patronize the water parks here, the small amusement parks up here in rural New Hampshire, for example. Some of them, frankly, are just not open yet. And so when they have the all clear to open, they may go ahead. But even then, are people going to show up? I quoted one guy in the story who opened his, we've said it a few times now, his axe throwing bar in Atlanta. And unfortunately, you know, they stayed open all week and he had two customers. And so that's obviously not a viable business model. So habits are going to change coming out of this. Behaviors are going to change. And I think what we don't know yet is the degree to which we might be, for example, willing to socialize with our friends, with our family, maybe go out and be on a beach together. But are people really going to take that extra risk, which is at a certain level what it is, to go be on a mini golf course and to go be in an arcade and touching the arcade machine that so many other people might have touched in that same day? We just don't know yet.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Judith on the line from Milwaukee. Judith, hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling from Gallery 218 in Milwaukee. We're an artist-run gallery, and we are celebrating our 30th anniversary in July. We count a special event here called Gallery Night. It takes place four times a year. We really get good crowds, and like I said, we count on it. However, we had to cancel April's for obvious reasons, and now the next one is supposed to be in July. And, yeah, it's a big dilemma. Some galleries want to go ahead with it and try to accommodate with masks and so forth, and others are too afraid and don't want to do it. So it's a hard decision to make.
Judith, thank you so much for sharing that experience. An example, David, of a community event that a lot of local artists, in this case, or other business people might rely on. The last one canceled. The next one, as Judith said, still up in the air.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be so interesting to see what kind of precautions people do take, and as we're seeing, how consumers, how the public responds. You know, if people say masks are mandatory for, say, an art gallery opening, what happens when that first person who doesn't want to play by the rules shows up? Does the energy turn sour? Does it spoil the night for some people? These are the things everyone's going to have to work out. Now, you mentioned these small communities, and that's important, but big cities rely on this economy in real fundamental ways, too. You just think about your convention center in Milwaukee, some of your beautiful art museums there. These are big institutions that drive a big, important parts of the local economy there. And I just don't know. You know, we're going to see when the next air show happens, right? Are people going to show up for the big air shows? Are people going to show up for the big boat shows in Miami? It's still a big question as to whether that's going to happen. And if they don't, what is going to be lost? Not just economically, but again, I think we need to think about the meaning, about the opportunity for promotion. You know, those bands at South by Southwest, they're not breaking through this summer because they didn't have their breakout moments where bands usually come out.
We're talking to David Gelis, business reporter with the New York Times. We're talking about what coronavirus has meant for the business of gathering people with things like conferences, tourist locations, music festivals, and so much more, and how those experiences may change as the country starts to reopen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you think you might be ready to go to a concert again or perform at a concert again if you're on that side of the stage? How about something smaller scale, a bar or a restaurant or a water park or a gallery night? If you are someone who usually loves these kind of gatherings, what do you miss the most? What's it going to take to get you going to them again? If you rely on this for your livelihood, love to hear from you as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the experience economy, the business of things like music, concerts, axe throwing bars, convention centers, sports, and how it's changed with the coronavirus outbreak. David Gelis is with us. He writes the Corner Office column for the New York Times. He covered this issue there. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What would you need to feel comfortable going to see live music or a baseball game at a stadium? Are you ready to go back and do it right now, or do you need time to see how those events could happen safely? How has your life changed not being able to experience things like birthdays or anniversaries out at a special place? If you rely on a business like this for your own livelihood, let us know how things are going for you, how you are trying to adjust to the current reality. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. David, there's been talk of, okay, restaurants could open, but with, you know, limited capacity, quarter or half. I've seen people putting mannequins in the empty tables, things like that. Is that going to be a viable business model, packing your business, whatever it might be, to such a limited capacity?
Well, I don't know a lot of businesses that can automatically survive with a half or a quarter of the revenues that they were accustomed to. So that alone is an obvious challenge. But there's also this more sustained question out there, which is, listen, I think a lot of people have found a way to bridge these first few months, and some of the relief efforts by the federal government have come through and given people, again, a way to maybe make it through to the summer. But what happens, again, if these events don't come back, especially the big ones, not just for another few weeks, or maybe even not just for a few months, but I mean, we're talking, this could be into next year. It could be deep into next year before you can get 80,000 people together in a stadium, or before you can put, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of people on these big cruise ships in a way that we know is going to be safe. So there's a much more sustained reckoning, I think, that's going to happen as some of the businesses and tragically, workers and employees who have really relied on the experience economy for their incomes face a future that remains sort of deeply uncertain.
And you've touched on this a couple times, kind of the personal side of this. If we don't have these spaces for, you know, that place we like to go, whatever it might be, with the people we love, what are we missing there?
And this is deeply personal. And I'm sitting here and I think about some of the most profound and joyful memories in my own life. And so many of them involve being in crowds. It might be with my loved ones, it might be with my best friends, but we were out somewhere, we were doing something, we were seeing a concert at the Greek Theater in Berkeley, California, we were at a music festival in Central Park. And these are fundamental things. I'm here with at my father-in-law's place right now because we're all displaced, and we go to football games every year, and that's just not going to happen. So this memory building, the way in which we form our identities, our relationships, so much of that, and this is, I think, what's so painful and hard for people, it's just not happening right now. And I think that even, you know, you can't minimize the economic toll, because that is foremost and that's fundamental and that's disrupting people's lives in profound and sometimes irreparable ways. But there is this deeper sort of psychic level at which we're all missing something too. And that's very hard, whether you have a job or not.
Let's bring on another caller now. Syed in Madison is with us. Syed, hi.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for giving me an opportunity. I will just want to say one small comment. It's really important for me and for my family. I used to watch live games and go out and have social gathering. But psychologically, I think so. I'm at a position where I cannot take any risk. And I will still want to do social gathering. So what I'm start using it, I start asking my friends to come over, keep a safe distance, have a drink, have food, watch game together, or just catch up with each other. So moving forward, I think, so this year, instead of going to Packer games, we might stay home and watch stuff. That's how I feel.
Syed, thanks a lot for the call. Syed taking baby steps from his home. It sounds like it could be a long way there for people like him, David, to get to the point where they're ready to go to, say, Lambeau Field again for the game.
It doesn't surprise me, and I think since we're talking about sports and talking about professional sports, it's going to be fascinating to see what these first games or first, you know, months of these seasons will be like. I was writing the story when the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I think, had their first televised event a couple weeks ago, so I tuned in. Count me sort of a casual fan, but I wanted to see what it was like because they were doing this with no fans in the stands. And listen, the event went on, and one of the sort of macabre side effects of there not being any fans there was you could hear every hit. You could hear every punch and kick much more distinctly than you might otherwise. And that's going to be the same, is going to be true in football and baseball and basketball and hockey. If these all move to fanless games, we're going to hear things, we're going to see things that we didn't previously. That's going to be interesting, but I think a lot of us, like Syed, are still going to wish we would be in the stands with a beer and a hot dog in our hands.
David, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was David Gelles with the Corner Office column at the New York Times. He was with us today to talk about how the coronavirus pandemic is impacting the experience economy and what that sector might look like as states start to reopen. You can keep sharing your thoughts and experiences over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.